The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Welcome back. Stuart Rosenthal in studio.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Stuart. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Fantastic. So the Beacon Bits continues to roll on. This is the segment in our show where we chat about things that are in the Beacon. Sometimes we talk about things that are not in the Beacon. That's today.
Right.
Interesting article out of Sunrise Senior Living about the five common questions about financing senior care. And I just wanted to chat with you today a bit about that. By the way, if you don't know who Stuart Rosenthal is, he's the editor of the Beacon newspaper. So as you're listening to him and you're thinking, hey, you know, he covers this so well, you want to read more, go to thebeaconnewspapers.com. So Stuart, so in terms of financing a living arrangement as you're getting older, where families typically have a lot of questions, how much will a parent's Medicare benefit pay for assisted living costs each month if you're a parent?
Right.
Was in that
so you're
situation.
An adult child, and yes, your parents are thinking about going into assisted living, and you're trying,
yes,
to figure out what they can afford.
Correct.
So you're asking me if their Medicare benefits will pay any. Unfortunately, no.
Mm-hmm.
Medicare will cover their doctor's visits and any hospital stays they may have, the usual kinds of things Medicare covers, the prescription drugs if they have Part D, but it's not going to cover assisted living costs.
Okay.
People are often surprised by that,
mm-hmm,
but that's not what Medicare is for. Now, a long-term care insurance policy may well do that. There are many policies that cover in-home care and assisted living as well as nursing. So you have to see what kind of long-term care insurance they might have. That could be another source.
We had another question about, do we need to either sell my parents' home or liquidate assets to finance an assisted living? That's actually, they believe that they have to do one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a great time for them, apparently, based on their market. They're going to lose money maybe for what they,
right,
bought the house for,
right,
whatnot.
Right.
Do banks grant bridge loans to help finance assisted living?
Yes, and this is something I've learned recently. They sure do. Short-term bridge loans can be a good avenue for that.
Okay.
A couple things to keep in mind. What's nice about it is this gives you a chance to sell your assets or your home or whatever when the market's better. So it gives you some of that free time and such. And you have to find out, though, what are you required to pay? Some of them say just pay only the interest while the loan's waiting to be paid. And once you sell the house, then you can pay off the whole loan. But you need to find out what the terms are, and you need to discuss that with the bank.
That makes sense. Certainly don't want to borrow against a property that won't sell. The bridge loan will come back and bite you,
right,
and ultimately eat up the equity in that property.
Right.
So if you're going to do it for the short term, I think it's not a bad play.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got to make a quick move and it's easier to move mom or dad or whoever it is going to be moving into assisted living, move them in, and then you can take with you the things that you want out of the house, leaving everything else behind to then be disseminated among the family, sold, donated, or thrown away.
Right, right.
Makes it an easier process too for preparing the home for sale. It can be done very quickly.
Mm-hmm. That also suggests, of course, you need to sit down with your parent and the property they're going to, the assisted living facility, and really sort of map out what the costs are. You need to know, sometimes these facilities have different levels of cost depending upon levels of care that people need, and that changes over time. So you,
right,
want to know what those are and how often they can change those rates,
mm-hmm,
and just in general, what happens if they run out of money while they're still there? Some places will say, well, we have a fund for covering that, and other places will say, I'm sorry, they're out of here.
Fascinating, yes. One person asked, my dad has a fairly substantial life insurance policy that he doesn't need any longer. Can we sell that to help pay his senior living expenses?
There are ways of selling life insurance policies. You probably heard of this life settlement company. So
yes.
I'll tell you, there was a time when this was considered very popular, and there was a lot of talk about it, and we had a lot of stories about it.
I remember.
And it sounded like a really good idea at the time. You don't get anywhere near the full value of the life insurance policy because you may have years to go.
Yes.
And we're talking, of course, about a paid-up whole life policy, not a term policy.
Right.
On the other hand, there were some issues with people trying to sell these, and people not getting, you know, people living longer than they expected them to live, and so they were offering less than they used to offer. And so I haven't heard much about them in recent times. So I would check with an elder law attorney or someone else with a financial specialty on that and find out if that's still being done and what kind of value you can get for your policy.
That's good advice. Another question. My grandfather was a veteran. We are working on a budget for him to move to an assisted living community. Are there any benefits exclusively for veterans who need help paying for senior care?
There is something that's called the Veterans Aid and Attendance Benefit. It's not that well known, but in my experience, it's probably a good reason for that because a lot of people don't really qualify for it. It's not enough to just be a veteran. You have to be a veteran with very low assets, very low income.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes sometimes years to qualify because the Veterans Administration is is not, you know, it's had troubles over the years. I think they're getting their act together, but mm-hmm. I know, for example, the case of my own father, we had to submit paperwork three different times over three different years because they kept losing it.
Really?
Yeah, it was like ridiculous after a point. So, I mean, I'm not trying to disparage the VA. I'm just saying, don't count on this extra money. But if you're low assets and low income, it's worth finding out more about it. But I wouldn't count on it.
Excellent advice. And lastly, okay, does Medicaid help finance assisted living communities or just nursing homes?
Right. Everybody knows that Medicaid is your last payer of last resort in a nursing home, mm-hmm. if the nursing home accepts Medicaid, has right. Medicaid beds. Mm-hmm. In many cases, in many states, yes, you can use some Medicaid money for assisted living, but it has to be a state where there's something called a Medicaid waiver.
Right.
This is where Medicaid allows the state to let people who are not in nursing homes or perhaps have been in nursing homes and moved out of nursing homes qualify for some amount of money under Medicaid to care for them either in their homes mm-hmm. with community-based care or in an assisted living facility. But there are limits on these. For example, Maryland has a cap on how many people are eligible for the waiver, and they have a huge waiting list for people to get eligible for that. So again, it's something that can be helpful, but you have to sign up for it and wait for it. It's not going to be available the moment you apply for it.
Fascinating. Yes. So plan ahead. Don't wait till the last moment to get that information.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Good. These are five common questions about financing senior care. We hope that we're helpful to you and your family. If you'd like more information, remember that you can listen to the show, share the show as well. Just Google the Eric Stewart Radio Shows. You can also listen on podcast and podcast on Spotify or iHeartRadio if you want to listen to Pointing You Home or to the Senior Solutions Show. All right. Stewart, when it comes to the senior living communities, I'm understanding that right now that solo agers, those who are solo and want to stay, maybe move into a retirement community, that most of the communities are not appealing to our older adults. So, so this senior housing industry is making a lot of changes right now in order to prepare for baby boomers, and they just want to make sure that they reach those baby boomers, especially as many boomers are getting divorced at 50, 55, 60. And, you know, I don't think any of us want that, but that's ultimately what's happening. And as a mm-hmm. result, people mm-hmm. are wanting to live by themselves. And so what is it that those solo boomers are really looking for? And what is the demographic, you know, in terms of those solo agers? Are they mostly women?
There's certainly a lot of women who never had children, for example, and maybe you never got married, never had children, or they're divorced or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're living alone. They've lived alone very healthily for a long time. They've been long-lived people, and they might be looking for places to move. Now, I'm not totally sure why this article you showed me thinks that these facilities are not appealing to them. I think a lot of them have very active social activities. They mm-hmm. have parties, they have dances, they have trips. I'm not really sure why an individual who's by themselves wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable in such a place, but they do talk about facilities that are making an effort to cater to these kinds of people a little bit better, and maybe mm-hmm. that's something which you should look into. If you're considering a facility, you should say, are there many people like me there? If I'm the only one there mm-hmm. who's not a couple, then of course mm-hmm. I'm not going to feel too comfortable, but if there are a lot of people like me or could be, then it might be different.
Recently, you and I have talked about how sort of the Golden Girls concept of having, you know, three ladies or three men living together, non-conjugal,
right?
Living together as friends and aging together.
Right. Sharing the rent, sharing the facilities and needs.
So you think that maybe the communities will also entertain that as an idea of maybe creating like a threesome apartment for three people to live together? I mean, that way, I mean, granted, you're next door to folks if you're in an apartment building.
Right.
So you don't necessarily have to all be in the same unit, yeah. but there's a I'm wondering how far this will go.
It's an interesting concept. Actually, in a way, that somewhat exists in the sense that there are some assisted living facilities, for example, that I know of where they have less expensive units that have two bedrooms sharing a common area and a kitchen and bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, that if you're a person who can't really afford the full-fledged individual apartment, you can share with someone else. So if they have that anyway, then why not have you come in with two people and take it over yourself?
You know, that makes sense. When it comes to finding a solution about where to live, if you're trying to decide whether you're a couple or family, trying to help mom or dad, or you're a solo ager, there's just great information available. We try to bring you interesting ideas on how to approach even identifying different communities. And we've brought you some information today on how to find a pet-friendly retirement community. So if you're a pet owner and you're thinking about making a move to a retirement community, there are a lot more options today. In fact, about 75% of the for-profit senior living residences are allowing pets. And so finding the right fit, looking for that, you can pretty easily do your search right now online. If you just Google pet-friendly retirement communities, you'll find a lot of options. Brightview Senior Living up in New Jersey, for instance, She decided to leave her condo about 2.5 years ago, and she just needed to bring her 8-year-old Jack Russell Terrier with her. And so Brightview offered this opportunity, and other communities like that are available. So if you want to find a pet-friendly retirement community, your chances of discovering one are excellent right now. We encourage you to ask the following questions.
I should point out, if you have a pony, you might not be in good
luck. Yes.
We're talking small dogs and cats generally when you talk about pet-friendly.
Thank you. I recently heard that ferrets are no longer welcome. So,
and the radio this morning, I heard that a man was found with a 5-foot alligator in his house.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
A 5-foot alligator.
5-foot long alligator.
And what was his nickname? Hey, teeth.
Crocodile Dundee. I don't know.
Oh, crikey. Yeah. So you need to make sure that the living arrangements are large enough to accommodate your pets, of course. And then you need to know how to walk your dog, take a dog out or an animal out for exercise and be able to do that. If you end up going to the 15th floor and you're at the very end of the hallway, it's going to be a long walk for Fido. You don't want him to have any staining on the carpet. So think about where you are in the building, how close you are to getting outside, and when you're thinking about your community. Well, I'm going to take a quick break, but when I get back, we'll cover three good topics. What makes a house a home? 7 winter safety tips, and why you should want to live in the Four Seasons. That's right, the Four Seasons Hotel. They have a residence down in Florida. Right after this on the Senior Solution Show, right here on WMAL.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't toast enough. Too much stuff.
You probably know this, and if you're having a conversation with somebody that you love, they're thinking about buying, but they don't know if they should buy or rent. There are really 4 basic reasons for us to own real estate. And truly, it's not necessary to own real estate to live in real estate. We rent properties. We, you know, we live with family, whatever it might be. But for ourselves, for when we're in a position of control in our life and we want to stay in a home and have ownership, we provide 4 important benefits to those around us. Number one, we offer stability to those around us that they know that they can come back to this home that you're creating and they can come home every month, every night, and so on, and that will be the way that it will be for a long term. Now, granted, like the old proverb says, don't build your house until you build your job. You have to have the job to be able to pay for the house, right? So you want to offer stability but not stretch yourself to the point where you're in jeopardy. Good idea. I like what Dave Ramsey says, the Dave Ramsey Show. If you've ever listened to it, I'm an endorsed local provider in the real estate end for Dave Ramsey, and I've been for 10 years. So I work with many families that follow some basic principles, which is essentially don't take on too much debt, try to go into a 15-year mortgage, and enjoy the home that you have, but try not to overextend yourself. So that's a good thing. Stability is a great and a wonderful. And for me this year, this is my key word for 2019, stability. It just happens to be everything that I'm thinking about is providing stability to everybody around me. Number two, there's no place like home. The dream, the whole imagination of I'm going to go home. Now, for some of you, there's some laughter in the audience right now because you're thinking, oh, yeah, you haven't been to my house. You haven't seen, you know, all of the lichen and the mold growing on the outside of my house, Stuart. So, you know, it's no place like my house for sure. But no, my home, our homes, when we take care of them, and by the way, if you're in that position, it probably is time for you to move. Yes? So there's no place like home. There's no place like home. A place you come back to. You know everybody's going to gather there. It's a gathering place. It's a place for good memories and a place to call your own and just kind of let your hair down and be who you are. Number three, you have more space for you and your family. Oftentimes, it's not about up or downsizing. It's about right sizing based upon where you are in life. And I preach this all the time. I've got a wonderful guide called The Right Sizing Guide, which we have for free on our website at ericstewartgroup.com. You can read it there or download a copy at no charge at ericstewartgroup.com. We have the Right Sizing Guide, which talks about how to downsize the stuff you have, even if you want to age in place. It also, we have the Market Ready Guide, which addresses getting your home ready to sell for top dollar, also free. We have an as-is guide, which is essentially one of the basics that you need to do to sell your home as-is and then just be done with it, whether it's to a builder or otherwise. Please don't, by the way, please don't take a letter from your mailbox that says, we'll buy your home for cash and you'll save commissions. Don't take that letter and act on it without talking to me. Not because I want you to necessarily hire me, but I want to protect you from giving up equity on your home. Case in point, we had a couple who came to us. They'd received a letter. They felt the fair market value for their property was probably in the 600s, and they'd gotten an offer from a builder at $650,000. That was a good offer, they felt, and they felt strongly that they might want to sell it. But this was before I met them. I went into their home, and we chatted about their price, and I told them they had a $780,000 property, so even after they paid expenses, they were still going to net a whole lot more money at the end of the day. We've created a system of just caring for people and giving advice, and ultimately, you'll hire us if you want our services. But if you just need good advice, you just need some ideas and insight into decision-making, think of me as a resource, please. Think of me as a resource. I've got 31 years. An email is pretty easy for me to read and then respond back to. I try to get back to everybody in the same day, and we want to help you. Number four, you have control over what you do inside the property because you own the walls in a condo. You own the house and the land in a piece of residential single-family real estate. Bottom line, whether you're a first-time home buyer and you're coaching the kids on making a purchase or a move-up buyer wants to start a new chapter in your life, it's a great time to reflect on those intangible factors. And we have, lastly, a guide called the Buyer Savvy Guide, which is also free and completely redone, and we're so happy to be able to launch this out. Feel free to download a copy of that, too, also at ericstewartgroup.com. It gives you good advice on how to enter into the process of purchasing and successfully conclude that purchase. Hey, it's wintertime, and man, it was wicked the other day. I went on a listing appointment, and the driveway was sheer ice. This was over on Thursday. It was about maybe 4 or 5 degrees when I arrived, and boy, take care of yourselves. One of my clients, wonderful guy, and his wife sold their home with me a couple years ago, and they've since referred me to two other clients, and we've sold their properties. Thank you very much to my past clients for that. He fell on the ice and broke his wrist. And, you know, you can't stop yourself from certain accidents. I nearly slipped and fell myself at this listing appointment on Thursday. And during these winter months, you've got ice, cold temperatures, slippery sidewalks. Sometimes it's just hard to see whether there's ice under snow. And you step on a little bit of snow on top of ice and pretty soon you're on your back. It's not good. So If you're in a position where you're at home and by yourself and you can't get out effectively to salt the sidewalk or the front stoop, those kinds of things, call in a friend nearby to come over and help you. That's a good idea. If you can, try to keep your front walk salted. If you've got concrete and you don't want to put salt down because it will spall the concrete up, then use some sand. Have it in reserves. We may have cold weather all the way to the middle of March, and we're just at the beginning of February. To avoid slipping on ice, it's just very important to remember to wear the right shoes. Some leather shoes that I have, even on just marble staircases like you'd find down at the Smithsonian, are very slick on the bottom of my feet. So you have to be careful, number one, with that, and keep your body centered over yourself. So don't lean too far forward or back, but just keep yourself centered. Number two, you want to fight wintertime depression by making sure that you stay in touch with those that you love and you have good contact and get some sunlight. Get where you can get some sunlight and, you know, have a fire in your fireplace. If you're fortunate to have a fireplace, consider that as well. Make sure your car is ready. Keep some extra things in the car. Food, I like to keep protein bars in my car, extra bottles of water, which will freeze and thaw, but will be good through the winter just in case I get stuck. Good to have power cables. Good to make sure you have your AAA membership up to date, or most insurance companies now offer a very basic tow package for like $2 or $3 or $4 a month. So it's comparable to AAA, but make sure you've got that kind of insurance in case of a problem. Prepare for your power outages at home. Make sure you've got candles. Make sure you've got matches or lighters. And again, firewood is great for the fireplace in case of a power outage. And make sure you keep your diet up. Make sure you eat leafy greens and other, you know, good, nutritious and rich foods to keep yourself healthy And I take vitamin D now. I've started doing that at the advice of my doctor, slight deficiency in the vitamin D. And you need vitamin D from what I've read, and I'm not a doctor, but from what I've read, it helps in the absorption of other vitamins and minerals. And lastly, very importantly, prevent from carbon monoxide poisoning. It's really a good idea now. Just get yourself one of the new 10-year ion lithium smoke detector / carbon monoxide detectors. It's one unit. You can go on Amazon. You can go on any number of sites and buy this, or go to Stroh-Snyder's or wherever that you like to go and get one that has both. You are now required in Montgomery County, Maryland, to have these smoke detectors on each level. It's really a good idea for all of us. Even if you've got a hardwired, phenomenal system from 15 years ago that has 9-volt battery backup, this is now the law in Maryland that you just put new smoke detectors in once every 10 years and you don't have to change the batteries. Hope that advice is helpful to you at this time of year. You know, I've been selling real estate now 31 years, and I've recently come across a property that I'll be selling in Chevy Chase, Maryland. It's a penthouse condominium at the Somerset. It's priced a little under $2 million, 2,750 square feet. It has garage space, a huge storage space, and phenomenal upgrades on the inside. If you like an Asian and Japanese-style decorating theme throughout your home, this is perfect. The kitchen, unbelievably, has kind of a Bob Marley Caribbean feel, and so it's an interesting combination of design, but the quality of work, the built-ins, everything, top drawer, all right? We'll be putting that on the market later this week, so keep an eye out for it. And if you're interested, it catches your ear, like, wow, I've been waiting for something over there. It hasn't come up yet. Then give me a call, and I'll tell you more about it personally. Our toll-free number, 800-900-9104. Email eric@ericstewartgroup.com for more information. The Four Seasons Hotel in Florida, well, they would like you to move in. You talk about the life, live in the life. I think we would all love to live at the Four Seasons in Florida. Maybe not everybody. I know folks, and I probably don't really want to be in Florida in the summertime either, right? But when I'm down there, it looks pretty nice. You might want to check it out. Oh, hey, I recognize that special music that Ken Hunter, the engineer, is putting behind my show. It's an indication that it's time for the amazing Helen Flynn. Good morning, Helen.
Thanks, Eric. Glad to be here. I wanted to talk about the value of focusing on others rather than yourself. We can easily fall into dwelling on what is wrong in our lives, what is depressing in our lives, and that can create a downward spiral. There's always someone out there who could use your help, and you'd be amazed when you focus on someone else or recognize someone else's pain that you feel so much better yourself. So think about being a foster grandparent, going to a daycare center, helping out, rock heroin babies at the ICU nursery, visit veteran rehabs, or simply the person next door or the person from church that you know is having a hard time. We hear about doing these things and we intend to do them, but maybe we need to put it on the calendar and do one kind thing for someone at least once a week. It will really make your week.
Well, that about wraps it up for the Senior Solutions Show. It's always a pleasure to come every week into your radio home on 105.9 FM. EricStewartGroup.com is our site. I'm Eric Stewart. I'll see you next week. You know you can hurt yourself fooling with too much
stuff. Are you over 50 or love someone who is? I'm Stuart Rosenthal, publisher of the Beacon Newspapers, and our paper's meant for you. Our free monthly is packed with well-written topical information, the latest health research, diet and fitness advice, stock market updates, financial planning tips, elder law topics, housing options, plus technology, travel, and arts features, all geared to the needs and interests of people over 50 and their families. The Beacon can be picked up at no charge from more than 1,500 locations throughout the D.C. metro area. Libraries, recreation centers, CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies, churches and synagogues, doctor's offices, and other places where older adults live and shop. And visit our newly updated website, thebeaconnewspapers.com, for even more stories than fit in our printed publication. And to use our new Silver Pages, a searchable database of regional housing, home care, financial planning, and legal services. For more information about The Beacon, including how to advertise your business or event, either in print or online, call 301-949-9766. That's 301-949-9766. Or send us a message at thebeaconnewspapers.com.